Shalom uvracha. Welcome back to our Parsha series with the OU Al Parsha app. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Tzav. I want to actually continue with a theme that we discussed last week. If you remember from our introduction to Parsha's Vayikra last week, we noted, quoting Rav Shmuel Golden, that with the Sefer Vayikra, we enter the realm of Tumah and Tahara, ritual impurity and purity in full force. And we also noted that Sefer Vayikra is dedicated overwhelmingly to the Parsha of Korbanos, the Sugya of Korbanos. How does this idea of Tumah and Tahara, ritual impurity and purity, connect to the topic of Korbanos? And today as well, we will dedicate and derive further insights into the meaning of Korbanos, even though today we do not have access to this wonderful mitzvah, or shall I say, to this wonderful daran, tribute and offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we are going to quote from Rav Tzvi Sobolovsky Shlita, who says as follows, one of the Rosh Hashiva Yeshiva University reads, Rav Tzvi Sobolovsky as follows tells us, and we're going to learn further insights into Korbanos, but not only that, connect the idea of Tumah and Tahara to the sugya of Korbanos. Parshas Tzav completes the Torah's laws regarding how to offer the different korbanos. It concludes with a general prohibition about tumah, ritual impurity, that applies to all korbanos. And the Torah tells us that this is the conclusion of Tzav. After we have Vayikra and Tzav, all the laws regarding different types of korbanos, there's a general prohibition. The Torah says, you should know something. There is tumah that applies to all korbanos. What does that mean? Not tumah that applies to all korbanos. Chas v'shalom, I said that wrong. There's a prohibition about tumah as it relates to all korbanos. Quote, an individual who is tamei, one who is ritually, spiritually impure, may not partake of any korban. A Kohen who is Tamei may not offer a Korban. And merely entering the premise of the Beit HaMikdash in a state of Tumah is a serious problem. That's why if you go to the excavation sites, the Pilgrimage Road, Ir David, there are so many mikvah. There's a mikvah at the base of the Pilgrimage Road. Why? Because they had to enter into the Beit HaMikdash, Har HaBayit, in a full state of ritual purity. Even entering the Beit HaMikdash in the state of Tumah is a serious problem. So, someone who is Tamei cannot partake of any Korban. A Kohen who is Tamei cannot offer a Korban. And merely entering the premise of the Beit HaMikdash in a state of Tumah is a serious problem. Included in the restrictions of Korbanot and Tumah is the prohibition of eating a Korban itself that has become Tamei. So clearly, we have two antithetical poles. One of them is Korbanot, one of them is Tumah, and anything associated with Tumah cannot be associated with Korbanot offerings. However, there's one caveat, and Rav Sobolovsky is going to answer this. Notwithstanding the many rules concerning Tumah and Korbanos, Korbanot Tzibur, a Korban on behalf of the community, the klal, the congregation, as opposed to an individual Korban, that must be offered at a set time overrides many of the limitation that usually applies to Korbanos. The Rambam in Mishnah Torah classifies the laws of both Korbanot and Tumah as chukim. What is a chuk? Laws that we truly cannot understand. Why is a Kosh Baruch Hu command us desire Korbanot? The Rambam says it's a chuk. We can't really fully understand. Does a Kosh Baruch Hu really need my cow, my turtle dove, my sheep, my goat? Furthermore, Tumah, it's not that so. You could be as clean as physically a person can be. If a person is in a state of ritual impurity, he is Tamei. And the Rambam says that both Korbanot and Tumah, state of Tumah Tahara, are Chukim, i.e. laws we cannot truly understand. Nevertheless, the Rambam concludes Sefer Avoda, which deals with Korbanot, and Sefer Tahara, which discusses Tumah in a similar way. He concludes both Sefer Avoda, Korbanot, Sefer Tahara, Tumah, deriving lessons from these areas of Halacha, even though we cannot comprehend their ultimate reason, which is really what we spoke about last week. Even though we can't fully relate to Korbanot, how can we derive meaningful lessons? Can we derive lessons, says the Rambam, in these areas of Halacha, even though we can't ultimately comprehend their ultimate reason? And the answer is yes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu incorporates within the chukim, says Rav Sobolovsky, based on the Rambam, important lessons that we can relate to. So even though something might be a chok, is there part of a way that we can relate to? What possible message, says Rav Sobolovsky, can we derive from the prohibition of korbanos being associated with tumah? Or korbanos must stay far, far, far away from anything to do with tumah. Furthermore, why are korbanot tzibur not subject to the same rules that otherwise govern korbanot and state of tumah? the Ramban, he quotes the Ramban in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. I think that Rav Sobolovsky is referring to the Ramban to Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes, in the beginning of Vayikra, even though he doesn't say that explicitly, that is my feeling. The Ramban in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra describes the bringing of a korban as a process of renewal of life itself. According to the strict letter of the law, according to justice, Midat HaDin, a person who sins should not continue to merit to live. If a person does a transgression, according to Midat HaDin, it should be one strike, excuse me, Lahavdil, and you're out. There's no three strikes, there's no extra chances, there are no Pesach Sheni, the Yom Tov, second chances, you didn't aver, that's it, you're finished. I told you don't speak Lashon Hara, you spoke Lashon Hara, be Midat HaDin, you shouldn't be here anywhere. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers us a chance to do teshuva. And part of the teshuva process is the bringing, the offering of Karbanot. But Beit HaMikdash and the Karbanot, the holy temple, should be rebuilt immediately in our days. And the avoda that took place there, both signify life. Life cannot be associated with death. The process of teshuva, the Kohen on Yom Kippurim, brings Karbanot for us. And that's on that day. When we are cleansed from all of our sins, it's a day we have a new lease on life. So karbanot are associated with life. Tuma is associated with death. Says Rav Sobolovsky, tuma, by contrast, is the antithesis of life. Tuma occurs as a result of actual loss of life, avi avot ha-tuma, a dead body, death, such as the tuma, he now says, caused by a dead body, or by potential loss of life. A woman in her nida cycle, potentially the life that was potentially able to grow that cycle has been lost. There are various loss of tumah associated with different bodily emissions, zav, zava, but when there is a loss of life or potential life, that leads to tumah, ritual impurity. Perhaps, says Rav Sobolovsky, it's for this reason that a kohen is not permitted to come into contact with a dead body, with a mace. A Kohen who offers Karbanos must always be a symbol of life. In the Beit HaMikdash, the Karbanot and even the Kohen must therefore be free of Tumah because they represent life. Life and death are two antithetical poles. And what is associated with life cannot be tainted by that which is associated with death or by death itself. And since the Kohen represents life, the Kohen brings kapar for Am Yisrael before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gives new life to the people through his avodah of Karbanot. How could he be associated with tumah, which is associated with death? There are halachos that govern a situation when someone designates a korban and subsequently dies, says Rav Sobolovsky. However, fascinating, there's a unique status. Now we have to answer why. If we understand that Karbanot cannot be in the context of tumah, because karbanot are life and tumah is death. If you recall, we said in the beginning, however, wait, there's a caveat. For karbanot sibur, a karban offered on behalf of the community, the klal, listen to this. There's a unique status of a karban sibur concerning these halachos, says Rav Sobolovsky. Why? Since a tzibur cannot die, exclamation mark, even if all the previous members of the tzibur are no longer alive, the tzibur of Klal Yisrael continues as its own entity for eternity. It is true that individuals kan po machar bekever. Yeah, we all are here for how long? 120 years. B'shagam shehu basar. I think it's Bereishis chapter 6 verse 3. And how long will man live? Says God, 120 years. But that's only the death of an individual, the tzibur. The tzibur does not die. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Even if all the previous members of a tzibur are no longer alive, the tzibur continues on its own for eternity. Klal Yisrael will never die. Relatedly, therefore, now we can answer our question. A tzibur may offer a korban even if its members are tamei. Beautiful. The tumah that emanates from death does not limit a tzibur, since death itself is not a challenge to Klal Yisrael as a whole. Now we understand why, when it comes to Korbanot, they're so strongly associated with Tumah and Tahara. Only someone who is Tahar can bring a Korban or be in association with a Korban or partake of a Korban from a Kohen to a Yisrael, to whoever's enjoying the Korban. But why is there a caveat and exception when it comes to Korbanot Tzibur? Because the Tzibur doesn't die. Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael is forever lenetzach nitzachim. And therefore, the tumah that emanates from death does not limit a tzibur, since death itself is not a challenge to Klal Yisrael as a whole. Beautiful. Following the Rambam's guidance to search for lessons from seemingly incomprehensible chukim, says Rav Sobolovsky, perhaps we can learn two important lessons from the halachos that govern karbanos and tumah. What can we learn? We are the representatives of the great gift of life that Kosh Baruch Hu grants us through the vehicle of Teshuvah, which culminates in the offering of a korban. Today, in the absence of the Beit HaMikdash, our tefillos take the place of a korban, which we quoted last week from Rabbeinu Yonah. So we cannot bring a korban in a state of tahara as the final stage of teshuva today. That is true. But today our tefillos take the place of a korban. Returning to Hashem, therefore, is an opportunity for renewal and optimism as we begin our lives anew, dedicated to avodat Hashem. As individuals, our time in this world is limited. That's true. But by dedicating ourselves to the tzibur, when each person dedicates himself to doing something for the klal, to being part of the klal, we all become eternal. Isn't that beautiful? So two ideas. One, we don't have korbanot today. However, we can begin life anew. We can come back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We can use our tefillos to take the place of a korban. And that can help us further the process of teshuva, to return unto God. Teshuva Yisrael Hashem Elokecha. Furthermore, it is true that individuals come and go after 120 years. But when we dedicate ourselves to the tzibur, we become eternal. Concludes Rav Sabalovsky, let us look at these truths that emanate from the world of korbanos and incorporate them into our daily lives. In the schus of studying both the halachos and the lessons, the halachos of the Beit HaMikdash, and also the hashkafic lessons of the Beit HaMikdash, of Sefer Vayikra, of Torah Kohanim, of Tumen Tahara, of Korbanot Tzibur and Korbanot Yachid, may we merit to see the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash speedily and in our days. Amen v'amen. I wish everybody a beautiful day. Kol Tov. Thank you to Amba Ezrat Hashem. A Shabbat Shalom.